Broadcasting live from Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Cape Fear Seniors, where those who impact seniors' lives gather to tell their stories.
Welcome to Cape Fear Seniors. I'm Tom Petcher, your host, and today we have two guests from Senior Helpers. We have Carolyn Jones, who's community liaison with Senior Helpers, and Cindy Dresser, who's the RN also at Senior Helpers. Welcome to the show, Cindy and Carolyn.
Thank you, Tom.
You're very welcome. Listen, to start with, it's probably fair to say that 10 or 15 years ago, the whole concept of home care, senior care, was a lot less well-known than it is today. Let's, for the sake of our audience, talk about what senior care, what home care is all about, and specifically what kind of areas you guys work in. Carolyn?
Well, we are a non-medical in-home care company. We opened our doors March of 2011, and we are basically there in homes of seniors to help with any needs that they have that will help them stay in their home as long as possible, because we know seniors do not like change and especially do not like to move out of their home they've been in for so many years. So we go in and help with the various things that they are needing that they may cannot do anymore by themselves.
You brought a couple of concepts up that I want to kind of explore a little bit more fully. You said non-medical home care. Can you describe that a little bit more specifically?
Yes. When I mean not say non-medical, we cannot administer medications. We cannot do IVs or, you know, anything of a medical nature. That's what I mean.
So wound care is out.
Wound care is out.
You're really there to kind of to help with people staying as independent as possible for
yes.
as long as possible, but not in a medical fashion.
Exactly.
Your caregivers work with activities of daily living. Can you describe that a little bit more?
Yes. We offer companion care as well as personal care. Personal care is more the intimate care where we're helping with bathing and dressing and grooming and toileting and maybe sometimes eating or helping them walk. So that's more the personal care area. Companion care is more just being a friend to them, helping them with their, you know, daily household chores, laundry, wash, you know, taking them out to the doctor or to their hair appointment or to get their nails done or even to pot their flowers that they cannot get down to do any longer.
Home care is in some ways then sort of not just a preliminary to going to an assisted living facility, for example, but could last as long as the person's life, if depending on what the needs are, what the ADLs are required to be met. This is a positive thing, I'm assuming, from your point of view, as opposed to going to a facility. As you said, independence is really, really key to seniors. Staying at home for as long as possible makes the most sense.
Absolutely. And the reason, as I said, seniors do not like change, and really none of us do. That moving process is so traumatic to all of us, but especially to them, because they are so used to their surroundings, and any change is very upsetting.
It sounds like this is also a good, if you will, replacement for going to a facility, because people don't necessarily need 24-hour care as they age. Is that a fair statement?
That is correct. They just might need someone to check in on them to make sure that they're okay, that they're actually eating that day or they've taken their meds that day. Mother might have the daughter who lives in California, and she obviously can't check in on her every day. So that is why we're there, to make sure that she's doing fine.
How many of your clients have family members who are out of the area, and how many in the area?
I would say, if I had to guess, probably about 50% are mm-hmm. out of the city.
And how do you deal differently with cases that have family closer in as opposed to further away? I'm assuming, Carolyn, that you're dealing with the client first and foremost.
Right.
But that said, you also have to have a pretty strong relationship with the family members, and the family members might be here or they might be far away. How do you handle that differential?
Well, we are constantly on the phone with the family members, updating them on things that have happened or that our caregivers have noticed, and as the caregivers are always calling in and talking to us and talking to the nurse, giving updates on what's happening. If there's a concern, we immediately call the family. And we also call just to check to make sure the caregiver is working out and that the care is working out.
You mentioned Nurse Cindy Dressler is our other guest today. You are the RN of record for senior help. Is that correct?
Yes, as well as Marilyn. She is also another registered nurse.
And as my understanding is that in the state of North Carolina, excuse me, a nurse is a requirement for a non-medical home care. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
What kinds of duties do you do, Cindy, as the RN in charge of, I assume, all the cases and also overseeing all the caregivers?
Right. We have to oversee the caregivers and the client as well. We have to do reassessments every 3 months. We also do the initial care plan. We go into the home that has to be specific to the client's needs. So when we write that care plan, it's reassessed in 3 months sooner if needed. If the family calls or the caregiver says the client's not doing well, then we have to go out before that 3 month and redo the care plan. We also like to do supervisor visits. We will do surprise visits to check on the caregiver and the client as well. The surprise visits are good because they don't know we're coming. And we also like to kind of see what's going on, make sure that the caregiver's doing what they're supposed to do, make sure that the client's being taken care of. At that time, we will call family if needed. We do safety home checklist as well, so we have to do recommendations for things that the client might need. Family might not think that they need grip bars or a shower chair or smoke detectors if they're not in the home, that they're working, and they're checked every 3 months. So they're just little things like that that we have to go do and make sure that the caregivers have they're up to date with their TBE and that they're coming in for the skills assessment and they have the Alzheimer's and dementia training as well.
And I want to get into that kind of training in a few moments. Okay. But before we go there, you're really involved. Excuse me. A little tickle today. You're really involved not in just doing an analysis of the client's needs, but that also includes what's in the house that may be favorable to the condition of the client or unfavorable. You do a safety evaluation, you mentioned, but you also determine what might be able to be improved in the house to keep the client as safe as possible, as well as being independent. You mentioned grab bars. You mentioned changes to the bathroom to make it more safe. That's really involved in developing the plan of care as well?
Yes. If a client has Alzheimer's and they have 24/7 care, or they don't have 24/7 care, if they are, we are finding that they're using the stove and there's burnt pans in the sink when we arrive, we need to cut the stove off. We need to do it in a way that we don't affect them, but that they don't know how to turn it back on.
Right.
Garbage disposals are another issue.
They scare me.
Yes. So, you know, there's a lot of things like that, and we make those recommendations. We hope that there's changes made so the client can stay in the home. Throw rugs are another big issue with a lot of our clients.
Right.
And they don't like change, as Carolyn said, so that's difficult because we're trying to change something to make it safe for them, but in their eyes, they don't want that to happen. But eventually things work out and they understand and we make those changes and then they're safer and they can stay in their home longer.
Does every single client have a plan of care developed around that client?
Yes. It's specific to the client's needs.
And what's involved in the care plan? I mean, what does it exactly do? I'm assuming what it does is kind of gives a sense of what the needs are, ADL needs, et cetera. But also what it does, I'm guessing, is that it sort of becomes a little bit of a roadmap, if you will, for the caregiver to use. But to get into a little bit more detail about what elements are on a care plan, clinical elements as well as, you know, simple care elements.
Well, the care plans are, there's two different care plans. There's a personal care plan and a companion care plan. Mm-hmm. And that's determined when we do the initial assessment, whether they need personal care or not.
And that's your call, is that correct, as the RN?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of straightforward. If they do not need assistance with the bathing, toileting, changing of changing of their clothing, things like that, then they are going to be a companion care. So we basically go through the list with them. What do they actually need? Do they need help with breakfast? Do they need help with lunch, dinner? It's specified to the days that we're in the home and that those things get done in those days. If the things are not done in those days, say a client needs a shower on Thursday, mm-hmm. but for some reason he didn't get his shower on Thursday, it needs to be documented that it was not done. Why? you know, was he not feeling well? Did mm-hmm. he have a doctor's appointment? And the state requires that to be done.
Right. Carolyn, you are listed on the roster as a community liaison. What does that mean?
Well, I'm sort of the liaison between our company and anyone out there who's looking for services. I do marketing out to various businesses, doctor's offices, facilities, to let them know about our services. But also, I am the one initially that goes out to meet the potential client the first time mm-hmm. to get to know them and to try to build that trust, because that is the key for any successful relationship, is to get the trust of the senior and the family. So that is my role, and that is my, I love it. And we have a tremendous team in our office. And, you know, I have to say that we're all there for the right reason and the same reason. Things have brought us to this because we've all had situations in our life that we were caregivers ourselves. So we have a big passion for caring, and that's why we're here.
What kinds of caregivers do you hire? And you can both speak to this, both from a sort of community liaison perspective and also from the clinical nursing perspective. What do you look for in a caregiver? Are there different levels of care skills that you can talk about that you maybe bring to one case versus another case?
Well, I'd just like to say, when someone comes in looking for a job, if they immediately say, "How much do you pay?" Mm-hmm. That's somebody we don't really care for. We have to see that they are here for a specific reason and that they love the senior. We have to see that they are genuine and that they're trustworthy. We do background checks that are extremely well done. And we have a policy in our office that is very good. All of our office staff, and we have four or five actually, that are in on the interview process. I know that sounds like overkill, but when you have it right in the beginning, it's going to be right at the end. That's how we like it.
How about from your perspective, Cindy?
Well, the background check is really important to us, and we want that to be flawless. There are two different types of caregivers we're looking for. That's a companion and a certified nursing assistant, which they're certified through the state. Doing the skills checklist as well. But we also like just to make sure that they're the type of person that we would put in our own home for one of our loved ones. That's very important mm-hmm. to us. And if mm-hmm. we feel like there's any question in our minds when their interview is over, we usually do not hire them.
Gotcha.
We just have to have that strong vibe with all of us to feel like they're the right person.
What's the difference between a companion and a CNA, certified nursing assistant?
Companion is just basically a layperson, or it could be a person that was in the medical field in the past and they just did not keep their license up. CNA is a certified nurse assistant, but they have to take classes and take tests and go through the state, and they have to renew their certification.
Are they allowed to do different things?
Yes, you have to be a CNA to do personal care.
Uh-huh.
Companion should not do personal care. We do have high-skilled companions, and those are ones that were CNAs or medical techs in the past. Mm-hmm.
There's something that you've forged a partnership with something called the TIPA Snow Gems Program, and I really want to spend a good amount of time talking about that. One of the biggest issues that seniors face, and this is becoming more and more known because there are more and more of us who are approaching senior age, or in some cases are already there, and that is the whole topic of dementia. This is clearly a disease, if you will, that's getting more and more focus, and it frightens people. It scares people halfway to death, because the idea of losing control of your, if you will, of your consciousness, of your sentient, of your kind of conscious well-being, is just kind of scary. But it's out there, and more people are being affected by dementia, even either personally, meaning themselves, or family members or friends. We're seeing more of it, more and more of it out there. And I'm assuming that in your roles as people who help people stay independent for as long as possible, that you run into clients, patients with dementia and Alzheimer's more and more frequently. Talk to us a little bit about how you prepare your caregivers for dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's issues. But more specifically, I'd like to get into some of the details of the TEPA Snow GEMS program, because you've forged, Senior Help has just forged a creative partnership with this program, and you've kind of branded yourselves as being able to kind of bring this skill to the caregivers and then ultimately to the client. So I'm going to open up the mics totally to you guys to talk about this for a little bit and just be as free as you can. Tell us more and more about the GEMS program, because it's really kind of intriguing.
The Senior GEMS program was developed by Senior Helpers and the dementia expert TEPA Snow. It focuses on what precious and unique is about all of our clients. And they do have our gems, our sapphire, diamond, emerald, amber, ruby, and pearl. And that's how we classify.
So when you say gems, G-E-M-S, you're really talking about varieties of jewels, if you will. And I'm assuming that these are layers of the experience of dementia. Fair?
Fair.
Go ahead. Keep on talking.
The sapphire basically is normal aging that most of us are. Diamond, they feel competent and valued. Emeralds are most comfortable doing familiar tasks. Ambers, they like to manipulate, gather, and touch things. Our rubies are more rhythmic movements. They love music. And pearls, they like pleasant sounds and familiar voices. So when we go into the home and we know that they have dementia, Alzheimer's, we actually try to find what gem they are so we can specify to the caregiver and work with the caregiver as far as their characteristics and interests that they like to do. So they can focus on that to keep them productive and keep them doing what they normally would do before, because there's tasks that we think they can't do, but they really can. And we like to focus on what they can do and not what they can't do. Carolyn, is there anything you'd like to
add? And that is true. And also, we are there to help train the family members as well, because many times it's harder to have, it's harder on the family really than really the client. So we also have special techniques to teach the family of how to help mom or dad, because mom and dad are not really the same. They have the same outwardly appearance, but really they're not the same person. And we try to explain to them, when you see the brain of someone who is has a normal health, of normal health, it is so entirely different as someone that has the disease. And I think when the families can actually see that it's actually physical, that they somewhat understand a bit better. And they can see that we try to help them to get in the moment with their mom or their dad, to overlook that they're just not the same person that they were. You try to get into their world that they're living at this moment.
Are the gem levels sequential? Do you go from, is it automatic that you're going to go from sapphire, and I've forgotten the different levels, sapphire
diamond,
to diamond.
All the way to pearl at
exactly,
the very
right.
end.
In other words, do you, until you finally do pass on, are you eventually going to get to, is it diamond is the last level?
No, the pearl.
Pearl, excuse me, I'm sorry. That's pearl?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they are sequential in some ways.
Yes. They are.
And they're used really as a metaphor. Do you go in and literally assign a gem level to a dementia patient, a dementia client, and you tell your caregivers, deal with this client as a diamond or sapphire, and you tell the family as well?
Yes, the same thing.
Yes, because right. There's activities that we have in our library, Senior Helper's Library, that actually focuses on each gem as well.
What kinds of activities?
They might have, and they might sign sound childish, but where they have a bowl of marbles and you have them take out all the red marbles, all the blue marbles, and make the project more together, like you're helping. They are helping you do this.
Gotcha.
Nuts and bolts, putting nuts and bolts together. Puzzles, smaller puzzles. You have to kind of understand what their brain is doing at that time to figure out what the activity would be. Like I talked about rhythm and music. They love music. So if we can get back some Christian music, they love. And you'll start seeing them sway and move more mm-hmm. than they did before. So, there's just a lot of things that I think help caregivers and families understand what they're going through and what's happening in the brain.
As you discuss this, it's dawning on me that this is really about keeping a level of activity in front of the client on an ongoing basis, as opposed to have that client just simply sit and dwell in his or her own dementia. Is that correct?
We don't want to do for them. We want them to do for themselves.
Got it, right.
So if there's laundry to be folded, even though they have Alzheimer's, they should remember how to fold clothes,
right.
And they might enjoy that. They feel productive.
But
the issue we have, especially in one situation, is a husband has not accepted the fact that his wife has Alzheimer's, really. He is trying to control her and not let her do things like folding. And he doesn't think that he's afraid she's going to fall. He's not letting her. So we're constantly trying to help him and let him kind of give in to her and get into her world. That's a real struggle for him.
How does the GEMS program deal with a dementia client when that client is perhaps a little bit more argumentative than one would like? In other words, does the GEM program help them step away from that pattern and get more into doing something for himself or herself as opposed to lashing out because of the dementia?
You try to find out why they're lashing out. What's causing that? Is there something familiar in the home or something that the caregiver might have said or done or a picture that they might seen? So when we know what gem they are, we can take things away, you know, add things as we see fit. It's difficult, but we also, the Senior GEMS came up with a program with difficult situations as well. So if we know the caregiver's having a hard time getting the client in the shower, we will bring them in, train them, have them watch the DVD on difficult situations as well.
And there's so many different techniques to help someone get in the shower, because that is a big issue. It's frightening to them. It's something, it actually hurts them for the water to drip on their backs.
And there's a vulnerability, a sense of vulnerability as well,
right.
Which is why probably people don't want to do that. Do you often run into resistance from family members when you diagnose, if you will? I mean, I know you're a medical professional, but when you quote unquote diagnose dementia in a potential client, do you see resistance sometimes from families?
Absolutely.
Yes.
They're very much in denial. They just can't imagine that the loved one is not that same woman that I fell in love with years ago, that cared for my children, that cleaned my house, and she's not the same anymore.
That's actually a remarkable concept, that as dementia strikes, that the loved ones around the client literally have to change their understanding of who that person is, because that person is no longer who he or she was before. And that has to be hugely challenging for children and for spouses and for in some cases parents to actually make that change. This mom is no longer the mom I once had.
Absolutely. And we'll talk about this, I'm sure, in a few minutes. But Lisa Gibbons, who is on America Now, has teamed up with Senior Helpers as well, and with Tipa Snow, and she's done a webcast recently, and that is viewable on our website. But the reason I wanted to say this is she made the comment that dealing with her mother, who had Alzheimer's, it was so incredibly hard for her to look at her mother as somebody different now. And what really got me was when she said, I just had to break up with myself. I just had to get over myself. I had to break up with myself and just say, okay, she's not the same. You've got to change your life. You've got to change the way you're doing things now.
How about the stress level that comes to family caregivers when they start to see a loved one start to decline into dementia?
It is stressful, but we all, you know, we just really reiterate with them that we're the ones that have to change, not them. They cannot help what they're doing, what they're saying. There's outbursts that they make. It's the caregiver and the people around them that needed to make the change. And that's what we really stress to them. And that's what Carolyn talked earlier about, getting into their moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you stay in contact with your loved one, through those means.
So you can, even though your loved one is changing, personality is changing, physically he or she is probably changing as well, it's about the person who's not suffering from dementia. It's her responsibility to kind of make the changes required in order to kind of deal with a still very much alive, but changing individual who's suffering from dementia.
Absolutely.
We say, I'm sorry a lot.
You say, I'm sorry a lot, right?
Yes.
And another tagline we have is better to tango rather than tangle.
Very good. I want to thank you both for joining us on the show today. Cindy Dressler, RN for Senior Helpers, and a specialist with the Tipa Snow GEMS program. Really fascinating. And Carolyn Jones, also a community liaison from Senior Helpers. Can you tell us how we can get in touch with you via your website?
Yes, the website is www.seniorhelpers.com/Wilmington. And our address is 2214 A as in Apple, Wrightsville Avenue, 28403. And our phone number is 910-251-8741.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
You're very welcome.